Well, maybe you came from a terrific family or a really chaotic, dysfunctional family. Regardless of your background, there's so much pressure today to think, oh, families don't work anymore. That's such an old convention. But don't struggle with discouragement and don't think it's not possible. Focus on the families committed to helping you and your family thrive in Christ. And we want to encourage you today. So listen in. I'm John Fuller, along with Dr. Danny Huerta, who heads up our parenting department. And Dr. Roland Warren was raised by a single mom and shares how single moms can give their sons hope to pursue marriage and fatherhood. Here he is now with Focus on the Family president, Jim Daly.
Roland, one of the things that Gene and I are trying to do as an intact biological mom and dad family is help our two boys be the men they need to be for their marriages, etc. And I can imagine, because my mom had to do it, the best that she could was to prepare three boys in her nest, my two older brothers and me, for that job. We never really talked about it. I was too young. I don't think my older brothers, Mike or Dave, would remember any conversation my mom had with them about being a good husband, being a good father. But how does that single parent mom cast that vision for marriage and for fatherhood? What are some good elements for them to be aware of?
Well, the first thing is that you stressed it right on the front end, which is you have to actually cast that vision.
Right.
Right. It's because, see, he's living in an environment that is contrary or the opposite of what you want for him. I've talked to single mothers, and I asked the question, what kind of husband or father is your son going to become? And often that they've never even considered that. Yeah. Question. And then almost reflexively, they'll say, well, he's going to be a good one, right? And then you say, well, how is he going to be a good one? How is he going to learn that? And I say, well, what kind of father did he have? Well, he was not good, was a bum. So what was modeled for him was bumdom, so to speak.
Right.
So that modeling is there. So if he's not going to walk in the model that's before him, you're going to have to be intentional in terms of what you do to help him be a good husband and a good father. And I was really inspired by this with the story of Hagar, because the last time you hear about her in scripture, it says that Hagar found a wife for Ishmael. And I thought, well, here's a woman who has a vision. She's leaning into that vision. Remember, because one of the promises was, right, that he was going to be a father of many nations. Well, in order to be a father of many nations, you need a wife. So she had tapped into that vision that, oh, my son doesn't have that promise. He has this promise, and he needs a wife in order to make that happen. So as a single mom, are you asking that question? What kind of husband, what kind of father is my son going to become? And the reality is that the better job that you do as a single mom, it actually can work opposite. In other words, you're teaching him that he doesn't need to be there, not that he does. That sounds counterintuitive if you think about it.
No, it's true.
If you don't frame that for him properly, then he gets someone pregnant. He'll think, well, my mom did it by herself. Why can't you? Is that really what you want for your grandkids? I've never met a single mom yet. So my hope and my dream for my daughter is that she become a single mom. In other words, I introduce her to a shiftless guy I can so he can impregnate her and move on, or that I want my son to become that. So if you don't want your son to model what happened with his dad, you're going to have to be intentional. You're going to have to cast that vision for him about what it means to be a good husband and a good father, and you can walk down that path. There are things you can do.
I was going to say one thing that I think both of us share in reading the book, the keeping your promises part. And it wasn't explicit. I want to ask you this question because you and I both had a very similar experience in that my dad on my 7th birthday promised to bring me a mitt. He was already not in the home. And every 15 minutes I ran to the curb looking for him coming down the street with that mitt. And I even explicitly said, you mean a real leather one? Yeah, I'll bring you a real leather one. You had that same experience. My dad never showed up that day.
Yeah.
And I remember my friend Ricky at the end of the day just hit me in the shoulder saying, it'd be all right. He'll show up at some point. And you had the same thing.
I did.
Different object.
A different object. Yeah, I was waiting for my dad to come get us. It sounds like such a silly thing now.
Oh, but the impact it had on both
and
of us.
He was going to take us to get ice cream, and my dad drove fast cars, and that was always fun because he'd always get to a stoplight and just rev, and it was just such an important thing. I just waited and waited and waited. I could still kind of see myself waiting under this tree for him to come, and eventually he didn't show up. And in my heart, I have to really admit that my heart kind of hardened in that moment because I cried about that.
Absolutely.
And I said to myself, I am never going to cry about this again. I am absolutely. And what I did in that moment, which I lowered my expectations, and I lowered my expectations so that I wouldn't be hurt.
Right.
But that's not healthy.
No,
that's not healthy.
See, I had the addition of the embarrassment
yeah.
of my friend knowing that yeah. he had promised it to me and then didn't show up. Mm. And then it was a worth issue. I'm not very worthy, yeah. right?
Yep.
So the real point I wanted to make on this is with your own kids today. I mean, I can remember giving them this talk often. I'm not going to make a lot of promises to you, but when I make a promise, I'm yeah. going to keep it. Yeah. And then I would ask them from time to time to give me a grade on whether or not I had kept my promises. Every year I'd say to Trent and Troy, have I kept my promises this year?
No, and I think it's a wonderful insight, and it kind of leans into the son of the promise, because the reality is that if these promises are broken, like that the dad makes, then your son can start to believe, I'm actually not a son of the promise. Like, I'm not worthy of people keeping promises for me. And that's where a single mom has a very important role to play here, and why that communications part that we talked about in the last show and a little bit in this one is so critically important, because yeah. he needs to be able to come to you and be able to say, that hurt.
Right.
And you need to be able to help him process that. But that's only going to happen if you lean in and you don't just kind of think about, I'm providing, without that nurturing piece there, because then you're not going to be able to guide him through this perspective. And when I talked about, you know, just me breaking down in tears when I had to give a speech and I talked about my father at my father's funeral, that was the moment that I was thinking about. I was thinking about that moment of being less than or feeling less than, and right. all of those emotions are so critical, and they came all back up in that moment.
Well, and you said it well, it's the broken promise.
Yeah.
And you can fill in the blank.
Yes.
It's the broken promise that you didn't stay my dad. It's a broken promise you didn't stay married to mom. It's the broken promise that you never came through on my birthday when you made a promise or whatever.
Yes.
And that, I mean, I think for a single parent mom to pick up on that and have that discussion with their son, you know, yes. promises are important. God makes us a promise. Think of that relationship. If yes. that's what you and I walk away from with our earthly father, that he can't keep a promise, how do we process our heavenly father making that promise that we have eternal life in Christ?
Right.
Are you sure?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you start to question it. And because if you really walk in, I'm a son of the promise, then you're going to be a son who makes promises and who keeps promises. So there's a whole movement called Promise Keepers, right? So I think it's so important that you kind of lean into this. And again, Hagar's story and just kind of leaning into that and walking through that, and which we talk about a lot in the book, will really help you kind of understand how significant these things are and the power that you have as a single mom.
I so appreciate the vulnerability from Jim and Rollin. And yes. Danny, I'm thinking there's someone you know who probably didn't have a dad growing up, and you're seeing they're actually doing a great job now as a dad themselves.
Yeah, throughout the last 20 years, I've seen many of these moments where dad, either in a divorce situation, was just left the entire family, or a child didn't know their dad, or their dad was in prison. And when I've seen it go well is when the teenager, boy or girl, decides to see that relationship as one that was part of their story, and they see it with grace and with forgiveness, and they give themselves the freedom to break apart from the toxicity of what that was about. That it wasn't personal. It wasn't about them. It was about what was going on in their dad, and the fact that their dad was not ready to be a father to them, and that he wasn't involved and wasn't able to see what he needed to see with importance and with value, and that it doesn't lessen their value as a person. When it hasn't gone well is when a young person has gotten stuck in the anger and the need for revenge, and they just get emotionally stuck. They go, this was unfair. Everyone else has dads. I didn't have a dad. And so now there's somehow they're in a lower place because of that. And what I have to remind them of is you have more strength than some people because you've encountered more adversity and you've had to overcome more things. So you're stronger. And did you miss out on some things? Yes, but it doesn't mean you have to miss out on some future things because of the decisions your dad made.
Yeah, yeah. And boy, look at Rollin and Jim Daly. They've been able to recover. They've seen God step in and provide in ways that a human father just couldn't and didn't. And so look for good role models and get encouragement by getting a copy of the book that Rollin has written, Raising Sons of Promise. It's a forward-looking, optimistic, and yet realistic view on the challenges, especially single moms have, But I think it'll speak to you if you've grown up in chaos and difficulty. Get a copy of that book, Raising Sons of Promise, which includes Rollin's personal story, from us here at Focus on the Family when you make a donation of any amount. We'd invite your participation, your partnership in the ministry we do around the world through podcasts, events, magazines, videos, websites, so much. We're committed to helping you. And if you've benefited from Focus, or if you're in a spot where you can help us help others, make a donation today. We'll send the book to you. All the details are in the show notes. And we've mentioned several times these past episodes about our counseling team. They're safe. If you need someone to talk to, if you're up against a hurdle you can't quite get over in your own relationship with God or as an individual or as a parent, give us a call. It's 800, the letter A in the word family. We'll schedule a time for someone to give you a call back. It's a free phone consultation made possible by our donors, and we invite you to call if we can help. Next time, we'll talk about why your teen needs some good, solid friends. For now, on behalf of Dr. Danny Huerta and the entire team, I'm John Fuller, and thanks for listening to the Focus on the Family Parenting Podcast.